Podcasts from the Cochrane Library, the latest evidence for healthcare decision making.
Hello, I'm Monash Mehta, editor in the Cochrane Editorial and Methods Department. It is widely recognised that more emphasis needs to be given to the role of the patient in making decisions about their healthcare. But what are the best ways to make this happen? Some of the answers are in the July 2018 update of Cochrane Review on Shared Decision Making, and we asked the lead author, France Lagarre, from Université Laval in Quebec, Canada, to tell us why this is important and what they found.
I have been practicing family medicine since 1990 and training family physicians for many years. I have seen the many difficult decisions that patients face every day about everything from screening to treatment options, and I have always suspected that family physicians could do things differently so they could better support their patient in making decisions. Often, the physicians make the decision for the patient, or the patients make it on their own. But this could be different. Physicians could change how they explain the scientific evidence to the patient. They could help patients discover what's most important to them personally about the pros and cons of the available options. We call this process shared decision making. And I believe not only that physicians can learn to do it better, but that's the ethical thing to do so. We did this review to find out about the best ways to encourage healthcare professionals to do this, and I have several things to suggest. This is the second update of our review of studies of intervention, which include, among other things, training programs, audit and feedback, public campaigns, and patient decision aids. Our first review was published in 2010, and when there were, at the time, only just 5 eligible studies. By 2014, 34 more studies were available for our first update, and we've now reached 87 studies. The number of studies more than doubled in just 5 years, probably because of the increased awareness and importance of shared decision making in medical communities and healthcare sector, as well as government. It's also encouraging to see that more than half of the studies reported on the patient awareness of whether shared decision making occur, showing that more and more researchers are interested in finding out what matters most to patients from the patient perspective. However, only one study took place in a low-income country, suggesting that shared decision-making is still seen as something for the privileged one. Studies had tested a great many different approaches, and many were found to be effective in increasing shared decision-making, especially the use of decision aid. However, when applying Cochrane's very strict rules about evidence quality, we found that few studies met the high standard. For example, they didn't give enough information to properly judge the quality of the evidence they produced. But we can say that compared to no activity at all, it is clear that some interventions which aim to implement shared decision-making in clinical practices slightly improve patient quality of life in terms of mental health, but make little difference to their quality of life in terms of physical health. Having done this update and thinking about its meaning for me as a family physician, I will encourage my patients to use decision aids. And as an educator, I will encourage health professionals to get training in how to use them. While, as a researcher, I will strongly encourage other researchers to design their study so that the quality of evidence is better and to agree on a set of measures of shared decision making that would make it easier to compare studies.
Whether or not you're a physician, educator, or researcher, if you'd like to find out more about the interventions in France's review, go to cochranelibrary.com and search Shared Decision Making to find it.